This week on The Droids, we talk about the build-up to The Rise of Skywalker. The press tour is on. There's so much being said about this movie. The actors have seen the film. Reactions already are out there. Hold off. Blinders on. Go on your social media blackout if you have to. We'll also talk about Jedi Fallen Order. Ryan has got the breakdown as he played the entire game. Still check out his YouTube playthrough, but all of that. Plus, we're going to talk about the rise of the Resistance at Disney World and Disneyland. All that and more this week on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Chris, I am Mike, and we are just two weeks away from The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. There are many emotions flying. We're already there, which means we are at an anxiety check. Go around the table. Let's start with Ryan. Start. Where are you on the anxiety level?
So it skyrocketed today because, as you mentioned in the intro, the cast has seen the movie. And as soon as I know that people have seen the movie, I really start freaking out. So, you know, I'd say out of 10, I'm probably at about, I'd say about an 8.2. But, like, you know, we're 2 weeks away. So, you know, it's going to be like that scene in Final Destination where he's wearing the mittens in the cabin. Like, you know, I'm just locking down.
I think I'm probably at about 3 or 4 Ryans right now on our scale. I'll tell you what is getting me just kind of jazzed and amped up. And they did this might have been intentional. Everything's like the rise of this, the fallen this. There's so many different titles now that they've introduced to us that I'm like, it's all just like coming into my brain and I'm slowly filtering it out to be like, oh, there's just Star Wars 24/7 coming at me. Which I think is kind of numbing me a little bit to all of it, which I think might be good right now. Maybe that was the plan. Maybe they knew it's like they had to give everyone little consolation prizes before the end here to be like, well, don't worry. You could still do all this stuff.
Well, but
we still got
is.
Some episodes of Mandalorian. We still got some hours left in Fallen Order. Like,
it really is a nice distraction to keep you from getting too anxious. I think, Ryan, we had talked about earlier, would this help with your anxiety for the film? You said no, not at all. Even though you have the ability to be distracted. I said before the pod I'm at an 8.7 out of 10, and the reason I say I'm at an 8.7, which is surprising that I'm higher than Ryan right now, is that driving back from our Thanksgiving break, we ran into some travel issues. We were on a dark, visibility low, snowy road. I thought, you know, this if there's a time that is going to keep me from the final installment of the Skywalker saga, it's this moment of trying to drive through the snow when I probably shouldn't be on the road. And you look at their cars that had been off in ditches on the side, and I'm like, all right, hey, my family's in the back of this car, and it's really important to protect them. But more important, The Rise of Skywalker's coming out, and let's make sure that I survive so that I can watch this film.
I'm glad that this is a thing that I've added to everyone's life, because I feel like most people never thought, like, oh, maybe I'll die.
Oh, Ryan, I thought of you when this was on the road. I was like, oh, man, Ryan is right. Like, what? I had never thought about the fact I may not make it to the next film. And now it's
there's
always
no guarantees.
There over my shoulder.
There's no guarantees. I'm knocking on a ton of wood right now. I'm wondering if after this ends, since, you know, it's the official end of the Skywalker saga, if I'll have some kind of, like, relief, you know? But, but as I said to Chris on our text chain, this is the third end to the Skywalker saga that we've seen.
I mean, and you have a lot more wings left to go through the series.
So much more wings.
So you gotta hang in there for that. But it's, Ryan, you definitely materialized that thought or that feeling. That's kind of the that little metronome's in the back of our heads. Like,
yeah,
oh my God.
I mean, it's interesting because we didn't have a pod when Force Awakens came out. That's when I was like a true mess. You know, like,
there's no documentation
of that. A few things have changed since then. We've had two Star Wars, you know, this is the second mainline movie since The Force Awakens came out. and medication.
it all helps.
I thought you would say talking through it with all your droid boys would be a thing that would
help. That certainly
help as well.
Helps too. There's like a thing. There's a thing to that. Maybe it's just, you know, age, but I'd say mostly medication, which I should acknowledge was not to address the Star Wars thing. It's a pleasant byproduct that I'm a little calmer than I was, you know, 3 years ago.
Well, that's four years ago. That's good, Ryan. Thanks, man. I was gonna say, just kind of nostalgically, the last time I've had those, like, that idea, it was about, I think, Final Fantasy VII, where I was like, oh man, I ordered it, it's gonna arrive in a month, I hope I am around long enough to play this game. So I think that thought just plays into this whole nostalgia play that Disney's been at.
Chris, they're coming for you now. They think you're having heart palpitations.
I have them on speed dial. My Amazon's just listening in. They're like, uh-oh, he's getting close. We see his Apple Watch. We got the reading. Stay on target.
But Chris, you mentioned how everything is rise or fall. I mean, I think we're at the point now you could just rename The Mandalorian to The Rise of Baby Yoda.
Exactly.
If we've seen any indication.
Baby Yoda. We really haven't had we've been doing excellent, to your guys' credit, recaps of The Mandalorian week by week, so listen to those if you're getting caught up on The Mandalorian. But I don't know if we have talked about kind of the zeitgeist of Baby Yoda?
Not too much yet. We haven't talked about how he's become
the meme
culture.
We talked a little bit last time about how it's been surprisingly positive.
Ordered another one. I just read somewhere where they're actually tracking more than any political candidate right now, Baby Yoda is.
Did you read that on the Droids Pod Twitter account where that was retweeted?
Hey, Mike, that's a great idea. If you like that quality content, follow us at Droids Pod on Twitter, at Droids Pod on Instagram. Email us, droidspod@gmail.com. And
Chris, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Did I forget one?
The Facebook?
YouTube, Droids.
YouTube. Well, I thought we were going to go. We'll get into the YouTube.
What about Facebook?
Worry.
And that'll do it for the droids you're looking for, Star Wars.
Oh, no. YouTube.com/droidspod. And then Facebook, search for the droids you're looking for. I haven't done that, the tags, in a while.
You did
and
a nice
always,
job, Chris. I just had to
like
for that Facebook.
Rate,
one.
Review us on iTunes, Stitcher Premium. iTunes Premium, wherever good podcasts are listened to.
Hey, I think the end of the year iTunes Podcast Awards are coming out, and I don't know how we get left out this year. I just have to really think that we're going to be chosen.
We don't get invited to the theme park. We don't get the awards.
We're just sitting here with Christian Harloff, not getting invited to anything.
Hey, we put a lot of time into our fandom. We deserve. Right. We deserve to be there.
Right. Right.
And a place, and we're going to talk about Fallen Order in just a moment here, but, you know, a place that is where we should be and should have already been invited to is the Disney World, where the Rise of Resistance, and let's talk briefly about this, there's early reactions, the ride debuts. If you're listening to this podcast now, it's already open. So why aren't you on a plane headed down to Disney World?
Maybe you're online. Maybe you're on the line waiting to get in.
Wow. If you are, take a picture of yourself in the line in Disney World waiting for the Rise of Resistance and tell us that you're there. Listen to the droids. That's what we want to hear. But the early
talk about it loudly.
Get one of the droid stickers. We'll send you one. If you send us a picture of yourself listening to the droids, we will send you a droid you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast sticker.
A whole
sticker.
Wouldn't
it be funny if the ride just takes you halfway through and they're like, listen, you're the first ones on this ride. We're just going to show you the Rise of Skywalker.
That'd be something.
Well, actually, speaking of it, and Ryan, and I'm jumping back here just a moment, but you had said once you know that people have seen the film, it ups your level of anxiety. Yeah. Wonderful move by Disney, by JJ. There was a terminal patient, I think in the UK, who had a chance to see The Rise of Skywalker last week, which is something we've had happen now, I think, with The Force Awakens. I don't recall it for The Last Jedi. But,
I'm sure there was. I'm not sure if they, you know, I don't think they often publicize it that much.
But it's something that, again, you know, you're like, wow, someone has seen it, and rightfully so. Why wouldn't you grant someone who is requesting to see the film on their deathbed, you know, as tragic as that is, to give them one last moment of, you know, true thrills, entertainment, and what Star Wars brings? I think it's a wonderful thing.
I heard an interview actually with JJ, and if there, I mean, and I don't mean this cynically, but if there is a person, if there is a filmmaker who's better at press than JJ Abrams, I've not seen them. Because he's, first off, he's extremely affable. He's very, he seems very nice. He's charming. He's funny. And I think he, I saw an interview with him on Howard Stern, I think. Strange reference, but Robin.
Hey, now.
But Howard Stern asked about, you know, like, have you shown the movie? It's when The Force Awakens was coming out, to, like, people, like, terminally ill people. Like, if someone was dying and wanted to see the movie. And JJ said, he worded it, he said, there have been a few situations like that that we've been lucky enough to show it to people who were in very bad situations, which I thought was a very nice way to put it. That he said, like, we were lucky enough to show it, because he's very good at acknowledging publicly that it's a privilege what they get to do, not just in terms of storytelling, but in terms of, like, this particular story and how how lucky they are to be the ones to tell it. So I think it's you know, obviously it's sad that someone's in that situation, but it's great that they do that for them.
It warms my heart every time I hear it, and especially just, there was, I believe for The Force Awakens, there was an interview done with the person who watched The Force Awakens, and you could just tell how much it meant to him and his family that for Star Wars to be so meaningful to them, to get a chance to experience it was really incredible.
That's like just that, the magic of the Force that really is why we all love this franchise. There is just that intangible quality that it just makes everybody feel good.
It's why we're here on this podcast. It's why we keep talking about it, and we want to keep talking about it.
Rise of the Resistance. That and all the money we're making.
Well, yeah. As we said, award-winning iTunes Pro Premium Extra Special podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Rise of the Resistance is open, and this, by all accounts, is a triumph of a ride.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid the details too specifically, other than what we've already read, because I want to experience this without knowing everything that we're going to see. But obviously we know there are life-size AT-ATs. Kylo Ren, Rey, Finn, Poe are all part of it. Even I think Donald Gleason is there, General Hux. There's something like 65 animatronics on this ride. The experience is 30 or 40 minutes. It's supposed to be just jaw-dropping, and I cannot wait to get there. Droids, this is the one thing I want for my birthday. We're all going, right?
Hey, now that the Rise of the Resistance is open, I'm very compelled to go. I was waiting.
Yep. I'm more sold on the idea now. Just kidding. I was sold.
This
all
is
along.
What I'm saying. I say the droid boys
and any
significant others that are interested, we rent a van and we drive on down to Florida.
And when I say significant others, I mean our fans.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say our Star Wars plushies.
Star Wars plushies. Hey, speaking of Star Wars plushies, shout out to my sister, brother-in-law, family for always fulfilling my Star Wars merch quota during the holiday season. They got me a nice Rise of Skywalker Snow Trooper, which is pretty cool, the Black Series. They got me one of those J.J. Abrams mystery boxes.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
So it was really, I don't know if it was J.J. Abrams brand one, but it said mystery box. I have to assume it was inspired by him. But it was the dark side themed one, so it came with a cool hat, the Black Series figure, and then a comic book, which is pretty fun.
Chris, you sound like you had a wonderful holiday season already.
It's the start of Star Wars merch season for me, and I just slap a logo on an orange and give it to me, and I'll be a happy boy. So shout out to them. Thank you so much. And they also got me the latest Thrawn book. So, Thrawn Treason. So.
Right on. Maybe you and Sam could read that together.
It's on our reading list. We'll have to have some podcasts on that. So,
well, speaking of catching up on podcasts that we've been meaning to do, let's talk about Jedi Fallen Order with Ryan. If you've not had a chance, youtube.com, Droids Pod, check out the playthroughs that Ryan has done so far. We want to know your perspective, Ryan. I've played, I think, maybe 4 hours of the game. I've made it to Kashyyyk, the Wookiee planet, but nothing more than that. And you have finished the game.
I have.
I want to know, how did this expand your Star Wars overall experience with our current age of so much Star Wars. Was this a worthy entry? Did it need to exist? Or would you say that maybe it was like, oh, it was a great game, but I don't know if the story made it work. I haven't played through the whole story. I don't know. Let's hear what you think.
So, first off, I should say that, maybe the mildest of spoilers. I won't be getting into much details. I would love to get into spoilers because most of you out there, if you're listening, have probably played this game. But Chris doesn't want it to be spoiled for him, so we can't talk about spoilers.
We won't
be talking about spoilers conservatively for about 2 to 3 years until Chris finishes the game.
Oh, that's very gracious.
Yeah, so
it's more like a
decade. Mild things we'll be talking about, kind of like places that you go in the game. So in terms of the story, I think the story is really good. It especially picks up very well at the end. Do I think that it is a necessary entry to the Star Wars canon? Not necessarily, in as much as any kind of extended universe thing is kind of gravy. You know, Battlefront 2 campaign, I think that this is much better than that, but I enjoyed that. But it feels like an extended universe story, which is something I actually like about these things, because they're able to make it feel like Star Wars but really try new things that you wouldn't see in a movie because it's just so weird, you know. So in terms of story, I thought it was really well done. I think that there's a lot of complaints that the main character is kind of, you know, Magoo in a way. but I think that especially in like the last third of the game, he kind of becomes more interesting. Just to set it up, and this isn't spoilers, it's, you know, in the press materials, that you play as Cal Kestis, and it takes place between episodes 3 and 4. He's a Jedi in hiding after Order 66 has occurred. So, you know, Jedi are being hunted. And, you know, he's early in the game, he's kind of discovered, and then he goes on the run with two kind of mysterious figures who rescue him from something. One of them's name is Seer, who you find out much more about. And the other one is a pilot who looks very funny that I cannot recall his name at the moment, but he's very funny. And one thing, BD-1 is one of my favorite droids now in Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
It's a really well-realized character, and I thought that was great. So, who wants to ask me questions? Or should I just...
Well, let me ask, just from what I've played...
Yeah.
There is a deep backstory with an ancient culture called the Zephos, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Did you feel like this setup or was a good way to explore other facets of the history of the Force?
Yes. So this game reminded me of what we've talked about on the podcast, this idea of like, this is weird. Star Wars is weird, and I like being weird with Star Wars. And that's why I thought it really reminded me of an extended universe story, because the Zephos aspect of this is very strange. You know, like, they're very, for lack of a better word, they're very alien. And like, when you eventually kind of learn more about them, you're in temples and things like that are kind of unlike anything we've seen in Star Wars while also being cohesive. So I do think that it's a very interesting thing for them to have done. I'm glad that they took some risks that way. I think that a lot of the stuff, like, recently, you know, Star Wars games haven't been like super well received. I thought that Battlefront 2, it was like a fun game, but it didn't feel like they were telling a Star Wars story. It felt like they were putting a Star Wars skin on something.
Yeah.
It kind of still felt like the old class of Star Wars game where it was always just kind of auxiliary to what was going on.
Yeah, so this was its own thing, and it can kind of continue in its own way. So, yeah, I mean, the story, when Chris eventually finishes it, we can talk a little more about.
Sure.
It ties in a few things like from canon that exist already, like the I believe they're called the Sisters of Dathomir, things like that.
And we have things like the Inquisitors, and so this is taking place when? Right after Episode 3?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be about 6 or 7 years after Episode 3.
Yeah, when it seems like people are still aware of Order 66, but it's been like early on in the game, you could feel like people had not seen a Jedi in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's of note if someone sees one.
Yeah.
So in terms of gameplay, I will say this. It's the best lightsaber fighting that's been in a video game.
Oh, wow.
Like, bar none. I think that gameplay-wise, it's really satisfying. It pushes back. I played it on the... There are four difficulties. I played it on the second from the hardest, which I believe is called Jedi Master. And it pushes mm-hmm. back a lot. It's not quite like a Dark Souls level difficulty, but it's not easy. And it's a very satisfying system. It has a lot of doing with like blocking and parrying, which, you know, with the sound design of the lightsaber, we've never really been able to do stuff like that in a video game before.
That's right.
And the character animations are just so good that way. In terms of gameplay, people have been comparing it to Dark Souls and Sekiro a lot, which is fair in terms of the combat. But in terms of the structure of the game, it's pretty much Metroid Prime, which is great. It's this, you know, it's a series of different worlds. I think there's about five. And each one has this very intricate map that there's no fast travel. You have to kind of like traverse it on your own, and you unlock abilities that you can go back to those worlds and access different areas, things like that. So that's a really fun aspect of it. There's a lot of like collecting once you can go back to those worlds. Not a lot of those things are worth it. There are a few things that are very worth it though, so it kind of keeps you on the hook.
Ryan, do you ever go to a world and then train a bunch of villagers to protect themselves from an oncoming group of raiders?
It's like the middle 8 hours of the game is just asking people if they know how to fire a gun.
At one point they had that stick that you guys mentioned the pod. Did you turn the stick around to make sure you're fighting with the right side?
What button do you need to push to do that, by the way?
Yeah, it's a QTE. You're just mashing square. and I think that all of the worlds are really they're fairly distinct. I have to say this. This isn't a spoiler because you're able to access it from the beginning. Dathomir is kind of where everything culminates. For those of you who don't know, Dathomir is where Darth Maul is from. So you can go there immediately, but you would get your ass handed to you. So it's kind of like, and it is by far the most interesting aspect of the game in terms of the risks they take and kind of the atmosphere of it. But I gotta tell you, Dathomir sucks.
like not a pleasant place.
Oh my god, what a horrible place. For everybody who's like mad, you know, that Darth Maul killed Qui-Gon or like he's so mean or whatever, like,
yeah,
listen, go to Dathomir. You will see like the dude
You'll
is
understand.
Doing his best, you know what
he's,
I mean, like,
he's honestly one of the nicest people from Dathomir.
It is, and it's cool to go to Dathomir because it's like, you know, they're obviously drawing from designs of Darth Maul and things like that, but what a hostile place.
Any mentions of Crimson Dawn?
Oh, interesting.
That's a great question. I don't recall, honestly.
Because, point, it might have been the rising of Crimson Dawn. Going back to the rising there, Chris. Because that would have been after episode 3, before episode 4. And Solo, takes place in that time period, right?
I would think so, after.
They might be burying
Crimson
Dawn.
I'm sure that I'll play it again at some point.
Yeah. That was going to be my question for you. Do you find that there is replayability to kind of get 100%, or is it the kind of game where it's like they have this layer of difficulty, but it's there if you want it. If not, you can kind of just futz your way through the game.
Yeah, I found it this kind of great balance of both, where it's not an open world game. It's not like an endless game. There is a definitive end to it. You know, like there are credits mm-hmm. where you're like, the story's over, and it's not... So it's not overwhelming in this way that it's like, okay, well, I could just be doing this forever, but it's dense enough and there's enough to do that you don't feel like it's just over. I think the game took me about like 15 or 16 hours to beat, which felt substantial, you know, and I did some backtracking and things like that. But by the time it was over, I was ready for it to be done.
Does it have kind of that Naughty Dog game feel where it's almost like it kind of ramps up at the end, or like even like the Rockstar games like Red Dead seem to do that, where they kind of break their own system and they just have you kind of, you're on the ride.
Yeah, so the game is pretty freeform up until then, but there is a point where it kind of, you reach the point where you're like, okay, like we're on rails until the end.
Right.
Gotcha. Which is good, because it's like, you know, these kinds of games where you can keep going back and forth, it's nice to have a point where you're like, let's finish this.
Yep.
You know, it and especially in a world where every single game that comes out is an 80-hour open world game, it's nice to just,
it's refreshing,
you know, to accomplish it. To be like, okay, like I finished this game. But I do, I mean, any Star Wars fans who like video games, I highly recommend it. It's I was shocked at how much it reminded me of Metroid Prime and like scratched that itch.
Hmm.
So, you know, if anyone's a fan of that, it's great. But the lightsaber stuff is really great. I mean, that's kind of been the star of the show in terms of what they've been talking about the most. And I think they really nailed it. The traversal's fun too. You know, there's like a lot of wall running and swinging and things like that, and you unlock force powers as you go through.
Well,
because it is an RPG.
That brings me to the question that I've been really longing to ask you.
Yeah.
Did you ever anticipate so much ice sliding?
Oh my god! If you watch the YouTube playthroughs, you will see a man on the at the end of his rope with his
wait, literally, or did you not catch the rope? So you were at the end of your rope because you didn't actually catch
the edge of his ice.
Yeah, I was reaching for a rope. I did not anticipate so much ice, mud, rock sliding.
It
works.
The short amount that I've played, yes, that is a feature, and I think that's kind of isn't Titanfall kind of actiony like that, where you're kind of
very much
off?
There's a lot of wall running in Titanfall, and that's the same team that made it. So they clearly, I don't know if it's the same engine, but they clearly were like, wall running is our thing.
It has a pretty a bit of a cult following, I think, too.
Oh.
So maybe it's a kind of a nod to those folks.
Yeah.
Oh, this
Titanfall 2 is really great.
Not that you mentioned mudsliding, was it? Early on the first planet, well, I think it was the first planet that I visited. I don't know if it was the first one you did, where you went back to find the Zepho. And I don't think this is much of a spoiler. But when you first learn to run off the walls, at the end of that cavern is a big mud slide that you can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eventually learn and have skills?
You eventually can get up.
Oh, okay.
I will say this. The world you're talking about is called Bogano.
Yeah.
And
bless you.
This is like your Bond
there
moment.
There is a point that you unlock wall running, and then I forget what the other... There's another ability that you unlock, and I will say it's on the next world. I think it might be on Kashyyyk.
Okay.
Go back to Bogano and explore a little bit, because you will find something that is very cool that will aid you in the rest of the game.
Hmm. All right. Good to know.
That you could conceivably not get the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Huh.
I literally out loud went, oh my god.
All right. Now I'm filing that away for when I get back to the game.
That's Ryan's pro tip.
Yeah.
Other thing I had for you, Ryan, is that it feels like every Star Wars game needs to have crawling creatures for you to fight. And how did you feel? I think some of the small ones, they always annoy me because I just feel like this is a hindrance to me getting somewhere in the game, and I get certain challenges. I did like the big lumbering beasts that I had to figure out how to actually battle, at least early on, because it felt like, oh, this is not easy. This is not a cakewalk. And I believe I was playing at one level below where you were, and it still wasn't a cakewalk.
Yeah, no, it pushes back. So the lumbering... So Kashyyyk has a lot of spiders. I didn't like that.
Oh, no.
I don't like those spiders. I think that the beast ones, they kind of turn into these like mini boss battles that I think are really fun, because aside from, you know, you're given a cue if there's like an unblockable attack coming, but you can kind of block everything otherwise, which is interesting how they kind of make that work when you're fighting a giant beast. It doesn't like look stupid. They actually make it work. But I will say that the most interesting, and I talk about this a little bit on the streams, the most interesting combat aspects I found were when you're fighting, you're either doing a one-on-one boss battle with someone who has a lightsaber or something akin to a lightsaber. When you're fighting, I think they did a really good job when you encounter a big group of stormtroopers of how they make it almost like a puzzle of figuring out, okay, so I have two people shooting at me. I have one dude with a shield up, and then I have two people with melee combat. So you have to figure out what order to do this in while you're really managing a lot of attack styles. So I think that that's a really satisfying thing to do, because when you pull it off, it gives you this very like power fantasy of being a Jedi thing. And even the way that they've dealt with deflecting blaster shots is like really satisfying. So I think that they nailed that aspect the most. And the most interesting scenarios are when you're fighting against other humanoids.
Hmm.
And there are specifically a few like one-on-one lightsaber battles later that are really intense.
Well, and it made me think of the Inquisitor early on. Is it the Second Sister? Is that the name?
I believe so, yeah.
That
you run into a few sisters, but yes.
Yeah, and I know that I think that there might be more I don't want you to spoil later on in the game about
sure,
it.
Yeah, sure.
But how did you feel about how that villain was drawn?
In terms of character-wise?
Yeah, character-wise.
So they get a lot more into her backstory, and I thought it was great. Possibly the most interesting character in the game.
Oh, cool. Now I'm eagerly anticipating finding that out.
Yeah, and I don't know the actor's name who plays her, but she's really compelling, and I think the motion capture is really good in the game. They kind of capture the emotions of everybody really well.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of gotten to that point in games where it doesn't look like real people, but I don't know if we've gotten used to it as viewers, but I feel like we've pushed past the uncanny valley a little bit.
Hmm.
Where you just accept that it's like, I don't know if it, I honestly don't know if we've become desensitized to it.
I was just
going
to say, you're desensitized, and that might be part of it.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier to take it in, and I think that they did a really good job of capturing emotion of people, and that actor specifically who plays the Second Sister.
Awesome. Yeah. Other main call-outs, Ryan? Obviously, we go play the game, send us your questions, watch the YouTube playthrough. Any other main things that you really loved about the game or felt like could have improved?
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of some of the improvements that I hope that they do in the inevitable next one, which I think there will be, even the worlds, I think some of the worlds, there is like a sameness to them. You know, they're different Star Wars modes, and this is kind of the more gritty Star Wars mode. Like in terms of like, it's like a Rogue One-ish kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see there a little more variety in terms of that. And in terms of outside of combat, there's some movement issues. I think, Chris, you said it feels like you're like driving a Buick sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're kind of moving around a Buick. It's like a little floaty, and sometimes just like,
yeah,
you don't make the turn.
It's not quite as tight as it could be. So I hope that they improve on that. But I think that, you know, it's the best Star Wars game that's come out in a long time. It's certainly better than it needed to be.
Yeah. Could have been Pong with just Star Wars characters. I would have been happy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I hope that this is a good step forward, and I think that hopefully this doing well will kind of Lucasfilm will kind of reach out to other developers who could do interesting things with it, because this didn't seem like an obvious choice to have Respawn do this. I know that EA, I think, has like the licensing rights. So I think everybody, the real hope is that this will turn into another Knights of the Old Republic, because EA owns BioWare. BioWare made those original games, or the original game. Obsidian made the second, but it's one of those things where it's like, if this does really well, hopefully it'll be the push that'll kind of get them to do another one of those.
Could you see a Knights of the Old Republic game in this style?
I think that'd be tough, just because in terms of, from what I understand of, you know, game design, that kind of like the RPG mechanics that are necessary for Knights of the Old Republic, I'm not sure if it plays nice with this kind of combat.
Gotcha.
But I mean, possibly, who knows?
who knows what they can do?
Well, because like Mass Effect was like a shooter that had that element, that kind of branching storytelling and stuff like that. So Maybe. I mean, it'd be amazing to see.
Yeah. So, do you think they chose Respawn as a studio just to keep the kind of the story and elements like a little more quiet?
Possibly. I really don't know how they would have decided on them, because it seems like such an unlikely yeah. choice. I don't really know how like those machinations work and how they decide these yeah. things. I'd be curious to know. But there's also a full documentary on YouTube about the making of it, and the people talking about it who work at Respawn are clearly like so passionate about it and so excited to be working on it. So it's really interesting. That's amazing. Hopefully it turns into a new age of good Star Wars games, because
I like that.
Historically, Star Wars games have not been good.
Well, we're going to need something after this month.
That's right. The pod needs something to talk about.
So, Ryan, where can our listeners watch you play? We're not watching you play. We're watching the gameplay. That would be something. You got a little screen on those things?
No. No, I don't. But you can go to the Droids Pod YouTube. I should say it's not, because I was trying to avoid spoilers for everybody. It's not a comprehensive walkthrough. It's more of bits and pieces throughout the game. So it's not like a front to back, you know, you won't see the entire game. But if you want to get a taste for it, hear some commentary on it, please go check them out. And, you know, like maybe eventually I'll do a walkthrough of the whole thing when Chris has finally beaten it. But,
so yeah. If you want this choice commentary that you hear on this podcast each week, if you want to get a little more while you're playing through Jedi Fallen, here's what I've been doing. Play a little, then I recap with Ryan.
That's right.
So do that. It's kind of like it's the next version of like a live commentary of like an MP3 commentary or something like that.
That's right.
What is more likely to happen first? Chris finishing the game or my 17-month-old Benjamin finishing the game?
I don't think there's a chance that Chris will ever finish the game.
that's 90% true. No, it's on my list. How can you get that? So you go to youtube.com and type in Droids Pod, mm-hmm. and you'll see our channel will come up. I see we're not afforded the full name yet, but we'll get there. So go to YouTube, search Droids Pod, Jedi Fallen Order. It'll come up. You can also listen to the pod there, too. So, hey. That's your one-stop droid shop right there.
And eventually we'll have a real droid shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up this pod. I do want to say before we finish, anything stand out to either of you from the early Q&As, the cast press junket that has been going out? I think there's been some news that's been made. JJ has confirmed some things, denied some things, but there seems to be, obviously, you know, the actors are going to be stumping for the film, but Richard E. Grant had his emotional reaction to
loveliest man on the planet.
Overwhelmingly thrilled about his role in the film and how it all comes together. But I there hasn't been a lot of concrete information. It's been a lot of how happy are you to be a part of this? Oh, it's ending. What's your favorite thing? What was your face like when you read the ending? You know, a lot of kind of fluff, mm-hmm. but that's about what they can do.
The classic Colbert, what's the first word?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
I'm loving it. I think the thing that's getting me now is all these little mini 15-second trailers that they keep releasing. Yeah, like, yeah. It's a lot. And I'm trying to keep up with it. But it is turning out to not be an easy thing to do, even as big a fan. So they've got me. One interesting thing of note today, there was a Q&A the information just came out today that Carrie Fisher was referenced by J.J. Abrams. And as he was talking about her, a light blew out in the auditorium.
How about
and JJ
that?
Said, "Hello, Carrie."
That's very sweet.
And then also on that note, another story that I liked a lot from one of the, I think it was the Colbert interview, was in her autobiography, she wrote, "Special thanks to JJ Abrams for putting up with me twice." And at that time, JJ was only slated to work on The Force Awakens.
But didn't JJ write a movie that she was in when she was earlier in her career?
I don't believe so.
Oh, maybe
this is coming from this is coming from his mouth. I don't know, but he just thought it was so bizarre because he worked with the footage of her from that so intimately in The Rise of Skywalker that he was like, she knew that this would, she would be in this Star Wars film or something like that. But it's very, very touching. You can find that clip if you just search J.J. Abrams, Colbert, Carrie Fisher.
Also, J.J. just did an interview where he said that it probably won't be Finn and Poe, but that there most likely will be LGBTQIA plus representation in The Rise of Skywalker, which I very much hope is true. That'd be very exciting for there to be.
Your reaction, Ryan, is a lot kinder than a lot of other people who feel like it's going to be a passing representation, you know, just something.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that, yeah, I mean, if it is true what he's saying, I hope that it is more than someone who just doesn't have a significant other and they say, no, oh, well, the backstory of that that's not in the movie is this. I hope that it is an open LGBTQIA character. That would be very exciting for Star Wars and, yeah, and for representation. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, they tend to kind of say these things and then it kind of, you know, it's like Endgame where it's a secondary character or peripheral character. That's a step, but it would be great if there was a prominent character.
Push the boundaries.
I'd be curious how both of you felt about the John Cho Sulu moment in Star Trek as to whether, I mean, it felt appropriate to me, mm-hmm, and the character still had, I mean, it was one of the, obviously a main character, a primary character, but it felt like there was a warm emotional moment with a spouse, with a partner, and then they were back to the rest of the adventure. I don't know. There could be more representation than that, obviously, because it is just passing moment, but that seemed better than what Endgame did.
Well, what to me was, and you know, I'm certainly not maybe not the person to talk about this, but to me, the thing about the Sulu scene that I thought was nice, which, like you said, it could have been more prominent. It could have been a part of the story, but it's also, there's not much. I mean, there's some romance in those Star Trek movies, but not a ton. But what I thought was nice about how they handled it was that it was normalizing. It was just
exactly,
a fact of life. There wasn't a button on it. They showed it, and that was great. And like Kirk kind of has this warm reaction, the same way Kirk would have that reaction if Sulu was greeting his wife. So I thought that was wonderful, where it was just like in the world of this and in the world that we live in, as it should be, that this is just a nice thing. He was seeing a crew member greet their spouse and their child, and that was lovely. So I thought that the way that they dealt with that, if it was just going to be this passing moment, was very nice. Because it was just like, yeah, this is the world. This is the world as it should be. That's Sulu greeting his husband and his daughter. I don't know if it was a daughter or son. And Kirk looks at it and says, like, that's nice. Someone I care about is seeing the person they love today.
Yeah. Well,
anyone else have thoughts? Oh, sorry.
No, I think you covered
it. I think you said it. You said it, Ryan. Yeah, no, I think to show the stuff, in, especially in a movie as powerful and as large and as reaching as Star Wars, I think this stuff is very important. It pushes the boundaries technically and kind of what a movie can do on a lot of levels, but I think this is a frontier that Star Wars should definitely delve into, and I'm always happy to hear that.
Yeah, and the hope eventually is that we'll have a main character, that it's presented as not, you know, not a big deal. You know, it'll be a big deal for representation, but in the movie, it'll just be that's who they are.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great in a huge franchise like this to see that represented like that. So,
and I think a lot of people were hoping that would be Finn and Poe, that's mm-hmm. what they would receive from that. And we don't know why the decision went the way it did, and I think we'll find out more once we watch the film.
Sure.
But certainly there is a chemistry there that would have seemed logical to have those mm-hmm. stories kind of go forward that way. But we'll see what JJ and team decided and what they put in the film. But I think we're making our way there. It's just a little bit disappointing that we're not getting a fully realized main character who identifies in that way.
Yeah. And hopefully soon we will. So,
and you know, one other thing that we've talked about that we haven't really gotten into, Anthony Daniels is getting himself quite a going away tour. He has had prominence in every single Q&A. You know, if there's a Q&A out there, Anthony Daniels is there. And I think at the beginning of the one that was the live stream in Galaxy's Edge, everyone gave him a nice applause from the rest of the cast. And it almost felt a little bit like mocking, like, oh, we know you need this, Anthony.
He's the old timer on set this time. Before you kind of had Harrison Ford leading that charge with the Force Awakens press. And now you got Anthony Daniels.
Billy Dee needs nothing from anyone and is just like, I'm here. Yep.
I suspect we'll see him do the talk show circuit soon enough. I mean, the guy's been in all of them.
It's true.
He's got it's quite a
and
a
he
history.
Won't let us forget it.
And he never will. Well, good on him.
Well, that's...
Somebody shut that guy down. No, I'm just kidding. We love you. If you want to come on the pod.
You're welcome anytime.
You're welcome.
You can read your entire book on the pod.
And that's a droids pod promise.
Yeah. Just like our promise that if you tweet us a photo of you listening to the droids pod, you're getting that sticker. Tweet us.
Oh, yeah.
Droids pod. Facebook, the Droids Podcast, Instagram, Droids Pod, YouTube, Droids Pod. Check out Ryan's playthroughs. Rate, review us on iTunes. Email us, droidspod@gmail.com. That's going to do it for this edition of the pod. Do not miss our Chapter 5, The Mandalorian, analysis coming up this weekend as that next episode debuts. We'll talk about what happens next. What planet are we headed to with The Mandalorian at the end of this one? How does this show continue to evolve? Are we going to see the ball move forward? We didn't necessarily see that in the past two episodes, but we're finally going to get a chance, hopefully, to see them move forward a little bit more. But that is going to do it for this week's edition of The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. What they throw?
T-minus 15 days. Annie?
Boring conversation anyway.
Millennial Falcone, Batman.
You know, Chris, you said 15 days. Most people aren't going to listen to this until like three
That's
or
all
four
right.
days from now.
Well, 15 days until some people see it. Who knows? They could be if that comes out on Friday, they could be listening to it 4 days after it's released. I was speaking to those people directly.